Welcome to Retro Wars, where each week me and a friend talk about the video games we used to play back when we were kids. My name is Daniel and this is episode 114 and we're talking the 3D battles of Worldrunner for the NES, or the NES, depending on which part of the world you live in. I hope everyone is well, I hope you've had a good week so far. Yes, we are going back to the NES, a console which I don't have a lot of experience on, and a game, once again, I've never played before. I am joined this week by Captain N from the Retrotopia podcast, and he told me, go play this game. Go play this and have a laugh. And I was like, okay, I will see what it's like. Now, this, the 3D Battles of Worldrunner, is actually a Squaresoft game. This was prior to Final Fantasy. This is at the time when they were trying to throw everything at the wall to see what worked. So before they became the biggest, one of the biggest companies in the world, this was the product they had. Now, I never played this game before. It's not a long game. It is difficult. That's the best way. It's not a long game. It's hard. But what they tried to do, they tried to make it 3D. And it's kind of in the names of duh. But how the hell do you do that with an NES? And I think they did this very, very well. It's very clever how they did it to give that illusion of being 3D. And I do like it when companies will go above and beyond and use like trickery to give an effect. And it does, it really works. It does give that feeling of you are running on this giant sphere like Sonic 3 when you're at the special stage. I swear to God, I'll make a CD of all my little hummings one day. But it is a good little game. And I was very, do you know what? I was wondering how this is going to go. It's like, fucking hell, Captain N, what have you given me here? But pleasantly surprised and had a real good crack at it. And so we are going to be talking about that. But if you are here for that, go about half an hour, just in, say, in the future. But please stay. We try and have some fun. We try and I give you the news. I tell you what's going on. We answer your questions. Yeah, so just have a little fun. Just stay. Now, if you want to support the show, I've got to get the plugs out of the way first. Wherever you listen to this, please give it a 5-star review. Give it a comment. Give it a like. Tell me it's good. Tell me it's crap. It just helps us get out there. And whenever you see it on the socials, please give it that share. We're also on YouTube. Retro Wars is there. And each month there'll be a retrospective of all our favourite retro games. And please help the channel just by subscribing, liking and commenting on any of our videos. Those likes and comments are what gets it promoted on the algorithm. We are 50 subs away from 1,000 subs, which would be amazing. And the latest video is Pokemon Gold, Silver and Crystal. And to also let you know that all the episodes of the podcast are now on YouTube. I finally figured out how to do that because I got told by Aaron from the Super Pod Saga podcast, there's your plug, how to do it. So thank you very much. I really appreciate it. So if you watch your stuff on YouTube, it is up on there. If you want to support the show financially, you can do at patreon.com/RetroWars, where for $1 each month, you get access to your own show called DLC. This could be top 10s, modern day game reviews, or gaming events. As a bit of a sneak peek, this is episode 83, where we're looking at the back second half of the first 100 episodes and giving my rank of what I think the best ones are. You wonder if this was going to make an appearance. The original Dragon Quest. Now, I played this version for the Game Boy. I played it for the Game Boy Color, where he is walking around with a dildo in his hand. If you haven't listened to that episode, he's walking around with a sword, but that sword is skin-colored. It has no bottom bit, and literally is just... It looks like he's walking around with a giant dildo in his hand. That's the best way of summing it up. He's walking around with a huge dildo. And that was episode 83 of DLC of my rating systems of some of the games we've covered so far. Now, for next week, not sure. I'm trying to think of a topic. I will think of one on the top of my head and we will have one. There's always going to be a topic. It often, or not, something happens in the news, gaming news or gaming landscape, and that kind of cements an idea in my head. So we're kind of looking for ideas at the moment. Like, literally, I was just talking with Lindsay. We've just done Super Mario Land. And she was talking about... We were talking about gaming sounds that give you trauma. And that could be one. Gaming sounds that give you trauma, that bring back bad memories. Actually, that's not a bad idea. I might do that. The top 10 gaming sounds which give you gaming trauma We done like the worst sounds in video games, but this will be like literally something you hear and then you go, shit, shit. So I might do that for the next one. That's actually quite a good one. Okay, to also let you know that 5% of all our Patreon fund each month will be going to a charity called Get Well Gamers, and they're a charity to provide games and consoles to 150 children's wards across the UK. If you want to donate any games directly, the link is in the description below, and they'll really appreciate it. Now, what else you get for your money? You get access to our own Discord, the chance to message me one-on-one, and take part in all our shows of 16-bit of nonsense, Survive or Die, DLC, or comment on our Game of the Week, and I probably won't be able to answer your names. Right, let's get into our first section, which is our letter section, and it's 16 bits of nonsense. Sixteen Bits of Nonsense is where you guys can pretty much ask me whatever you want and I'll do my best to answer. First up, Storm Beagle. He says, what's the game you played for the show that you were surprised you actually liked? Right, okay, I've got an answer to this. I'm just looking at what it's called. I'm just looking at any of these. I'm looking at what I've previously released. Oh god, I'm not going to go through all 100. That'd be silly. Not Wonder Boy. No, not Wonder Boy. It is a game. Where is it called? I will find it. I haven't released the episode yet. Oh, what was it called? Fuck. Not Yeast 3. There's so many games we've got. It's called Shadow of the Beast. There we go. Shadow of the Beast. It is hard as balls. I've done that with Sick Jake. Hard as balls. But you know what? Considering how hard it was, I still enjoyed it. I still really enjoyed that game. So look, I thought after the first minute or so when I realised, oh my god, this is so hard, I'm not going to like it. But the more I got into it, the more I liked it. So it's one of those get good games like the Dark Souls, and really is. Fucking hell, it's hard. But I enjoyed it. So there you go. And Dave McGee says, dear Dan, after listening to the Wonder Boy episode in Monster World, which was last week, I realised a couple of things. One, you should have played the other Wonder Boys first because it explains space. No, get fucked. Two, you hate fun games. No, get fucked. And three, you want games to be super easy. You are why the Japanese laugh at us. Shut up. Shut up. Do I want games to be easy? Shut up. The Japanese laugh at you, not me. Don't laugh at me. I play Dark Souls, and I'm fine with Dark Souls. So, meh. Don't you talk to me about, like, I like a hog. I finished Mario and the Lost Levels with save states. But I don't care. I finished that bad boy. And I look good doing it. Literally flying. It was like a space gymnastics watching Mario do his flips and perfect things. And then when I realise I haven't done something, I can just go back to a previous point. But that's irrelevant. We don't talk about save states. Ooh, 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 ooh. You know, shut up. Should I play the other Monster Boys? Well, as I said, the Wonder Monster Boys. That's how much I don't care about that game. Just scrambled in my mind. As I said, we're not getting another Wonder Boy episode for another 6 months. Hurrah. I imagine we'll have to play the first one to shut up you people. Because some of you freaking love it. I do like fun games. Wonder Boy Monster World is not a fun game. It's more torture. Not fun. Stupid. It's like Breath of Fire 2. People are going to say, that's a fun game. No, it's not. We're recording that. That's being recorded next week. That is not a fun game. I hated that game. So I try and do games I like. I try and do games I hate. This is a show of subject objectivity. We try and have fun. There are sometimes you have to accept that there are crap games like Wonder Boy and Monster World. And there are great games like The Bouncer. Captain N says, dear dashing Danny door dude, last week we, and by we I mean you, told us how large Kratos' penis was. Very juicy commentary on that one. Yeah, I actually went fully into what I thought it was going to be. This week I'm going to shift gears. If you had a jetpack with unlimited fuel, what would you do? Mate, I think I just want to go like as high as a plane. While saying that, though, I'd probably freeze, wouldn't I? I probably would freeze if I got that high. I've never thought about where I'd fly to. Like, there's always, like, you know, a dead deserted island and stuff like that. But I just want to be like a bird, because I get jealous of birds, because the views they have and the stuff they get to see of the world, it's like a completely different world to them. Like what we experience, I know, don't get me wrong, birds and humans are different, I know that. But just everything in their life is just so much different, and what they'll get to see, the views, they can just go, oh, I'll just fly up there, and they get to see some of those beautiful points that we as men can never see. Well, we could see with a drone maybe, but we just don't get that chance. I'd go everywhere. I'd go absolutely everywhere. I wouldn't start like a business like I'll carry shit, because, you know, I'm still a weak little human being and I'm not like Goku. Okay, I'll fly 10 people over here, but I'd just go exploring. I'd probably take my daughter, saying that is dangerous, but I'd probably go take my daughter and we'll just go to some of the best places in the world. I'm not strong enough to suddenly carry my wife, but when I can take my daughter and we'll just go to some of the best places ever. And just see things no human's ever going to see in their life. Weird, weird answer, but that's what I'd do. Chris Coplin says, Chuck's regal smutty satin dud. If you were to show someone your scrotum, oh, for fuck's sake. How would you stretch it out? And what kind of thing would it resemble? What do you mean? When am I going to have, right, when is this situation? He's sitting here pissing himself now. What's ever situation is there going to be where I'm going to have to, A, show someone my scrotum unless it's a doctor, but maybe I'll have to show a doctor, but then I'm not going to have to stretch it out. When does a doctor say, right, take off your pants, sir, you see your scrotum, can you stretch that, please? No! What do you mean, what's it going to resemble? Nothing good. Be like it's crumpled up bedsheet. It's this disgraceful. Literally, ladies are going to be listening to this show going, what the fuck is have I just tuned into? Well, this is what you've tuned into, love. Absolute smut. That's why we call it the smut squad. I'm my own worst enemy, I know I am. And it's interesting because Chris was on me, said, have you done your pre-ramblings yet? I wonder why have I done my pre-ramblings, because I would have brought it up within there and then. You dirty bastard. Disgraceful. And finally, Raging Demon says, I can explain space. Space is considered the region beyond Earth's atmosphere, although one can argue the Earth itself is in space, and therefore by the transitive property, we are all in space. We have many tools for exploring, such as the probes and radio telescopes. However, it is a rather large thing, and as far as we know, contains all the things in the universe, including a Saturn, a planet named after a legendary author Sega console, full of top-notch fighting games. Don't think that's true. That concludes this week's lecture on space. There'll be a quiz next week, so for all those who are asleep, that's on you. Do better. You need to do better. What? Why are we talking about space? Is this because I slagged off your game? No. Just, you've got a problem. Some of you have problems. And when are we having quizzes on this show? When is that being a self-inserted thing? Like, I know Dave's got his own channels about his balls. Doesn't mean Raging Demon suddenly has a quiz about space that comes onto the show. And don't you all freaking start backing it either. Bastards. Literally, this is not your show. I don't let the inmates run the asylum. Although it does sometimes feel like that when I've got Captain N doing the Discord. I have some control. I say sub. It's not much. Sub. But thank you guys, as always, for your letters. It does make me chuckle. Although get quite sick at the same time when Chris scrotum and stretching that thing out. Who the fuck does that? You weirdo. Right, let's get into our news section, shall we? Which we call Play Switch Box Erect. Play Switch Box Erect is the news, and we look at what's been going on in the gaming world, and I give my opinion of it. Not much to go on about, to be honest. First up, Take-Two wins NBA 2K lawsuit involving LeBron James tattooist. So, Take-Two Interactive have just won a case because there was a guy who called Jimmy Hayden as a tattoo artist. He took them to court because LeBron James tattoo is in the NBA. And he feels like, well, you're using those tattoos. I made those tattoos, so I should be getting money for them. And I'm glad that it was in Ohio, the federal jury rejected those. I was like, oh, that is a slippery slope. That is a real slippery slope if you want tattooists to say, no, any body art I must get paid for, because a lot of sports stars these days have tattoos. That is a very, very slippery slope. And as far as I can see, once you put your tattoo on somebody, you lose any further right to that person. But there's no contract on your arm. You don't sign a contract, as far as I know. I've never had a tattoo. I do want a tattoo on my leg of a T-Rex, but I'm not allowed. It's because I've got tiny little arms. Not too tiny, but I'm just, for a 6'3", 6'4" man, I've got not in proportion. I've got a huge torso. Tiny arms, tiny legs. I just think that's a very, very slippery slope, because everyone will want to do it, and then it will mean that Take Two will have to either add in random tattoos which aren't the character, or just remove them altogether, which is a mess. So I'm glad that went the way of Take Two. I'm not normally with video game companies, but I am in this instance, because that's just a mess. Stellar Blade, its day one update is going to receive, or should have received now, has been a patch, because there's an unintentional racial slur. Now, I didn't understand this one. Someone's going to have to explain this to me. Apparently, there is a shop. Now, I'm reading this, okay? There is a shop called R Shop, and next to work, apparently it says work hard, and this accidentally is a racial slur. I don't know. I don't know how those two words put together mean something racial. So if I've offended somebody, I apologize. I generally don't know. But the developers have said, we didn't do that on purpose, even though people made it an agenda that they did. And I don't think they did. And they've just removed it straight away. So as soon as they were notified, they removed it. So that's why it makes you think they didn't, you know, want to offend, because they just removed it. As soon as they were told, shit, we've got to remove it, gone. So don't make a bigger story than it actually is. It was there, they removed it, end of. Okay, straight away. And talking about Stellar Blade, their reviews roundup is out. Now, mostly is about 8s. Few 8.5s. Now, IGN, they gave it a 7 out of 10. And I was thinking about this after the whole debacle with IGN France, where it said that women were going to unalive themselves because of this, what they were going to give it. Now, they gave it a 7. And I was thinking, well, here we go. Where's the message about their bodies, you know, not being realistic? But that's not actually in there. There's no mention of that. They do say the negatives, though, is a lack of character development and a lackluster story. And I was like, okay, that's fine. They actually praised the character design in the IGN review. And the reason, yeah, why they gave it the low mark was the character development and story. I was like, there's no complaints with me for that. Fine. The game's going to sell really well. It will, because of all the hype that's been generated around it. And the action combat looks really good. So I hope it does really well. I hope it sells well. I haven't had any sales figures put on my desk at the moment. But yeah, this game is definitely is a Barbra Streisand. It's the Streisand effect. Like, it might not have done that well, but because everyone's been talking about it, because of the controversy, it's made more people come on board. And I definitely think that's why this game would have sold very well. Talking about things, the final story that's been selling really well. We talked about it the other day about Fallout and how, because of the TV show doing really well, all the games are coming back. And apparently Bethesda has just announced across all the Fallout games, this is on Steam, they hit nearly 5 million players in a single day. So well done. They didn't say like which day it happened, but I don't care. That's really good. It's really well done. And well done to Prime. Because I know obviously everyone worries when Amazon get involved in things, you know, rings of power. But they've done a good job here. They followed the source material, and it's got people wanting to play Fallout again. I was speaking to someone recently, and they said, oh, I've never played Fallout. I want to play it. I was like, wow. She's not even a gamer. And she was like, I want to play Fallout. I was like, go for it. You go for it. Have fun. Knock yourself out. So well done, Prime, you seem to have really, really hit that one on the head. And hopefully, that's just better for Bethesda, because obviously, if the company does well, we get more games. Simple as that. And talking about games, let's go into our newest section, which we call Stop Ruining Our Games. So Stop Ruining Our Games is where I look at what's been going on, where people have kind of, well, wrecked our games through politics bollocks. Now, this is actually about tabletop gaming, but the reason I'm mentioning it is because they do have video games in the series, and that is Warhammer. Now, the controversy has been stored up because they've been affecting the lore. Now, lore is very important to any media. Whether it's Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, in this case Warhammer, lore is important, and I agree with that. And there's a set race of humans, well, set race of warriors called the Custodians, and they've always been defined as men. However, The people at Warhammer have now changed the law to say that there are women as custodians, and people who are play the game are not happy with it at all. They say custodians should be men. Why? You know, that's the whole point. The law is important, and we already have a female faction. I think it's called Sisters of Silence. So why do you need to change things? And I'm already thinking Amazon. I'm already thinking that. Warhammer have come out and said that we're being, you know, basically diverse. People should get on board. We don't care, sort of thing. But I think you've got to be very careful here, because Warhammer, and like any business, relies on its customer base. But Warhammer, compared to a lot of other people, their stuff can be easily replicated. So I was at, when I was at this the Sydney event the other day, they had a 3D printers, and they had a few of them there, and it showed what you could make with 3D printers. And Nick was telling me that, yeah, you can do it. The 3D printers a little bit, but once you do it, you've just got to, you just got to pay for the resin, and that's it. That's all you have to pay for. And the resin's not that expensive. And there's the problem here. If the resin's not that expensive, people can just make their own Warhammer kits. And then they'll just paint them as always. And that's where you're like, why spend all the money on these Warhammer characters where I can go make it myself and go play the game I love? So, and that would fuck over Warhammer. But people have stayed with the brand, not gone down the 3D printer route, because they want to support the brand. However, you're fucking over your main customer base by basically treating them like idiots, hoping to get people on board who aren't necessarily going to play. And when you basically piss off your main consumer base, and then you're hoping to replace them with other people who don't turn up, your company will go, poof. And if Warhammer aren't careful, that is going to happen to them. The law's important. Law is important. I don't think diversity is a thing when it comes to armies in that sense. They're just, it's a war. It's a war, people. Fuck's sake. So that is it for Stop Ruining Our Games this week. I'm only going to try and do one story per week if it comes up. Again, it's not every week. We're not going to make this too political. But if something comes up, I'll talk about it. So let's move into our free section, shall we, which we call Stick It Up Your Jinjo. So Stick It Up Your Jinjo is our free section where I ask people on Facebook about what their achievements are or what their frustrations are of the week. Got a few responses here, and don't worry, if you don't have your responses here, I carry them over, so I do keep a record of them. Johan Jelkern, I butchered that. He says, I've never raged. Been gaming since 1988 and started professionally already as a kid in the 90s. How? I really don't know. But part of it might be I rarely fail, and when I do, I consider it a lesson. Alright, Vegeta. I rarely fail. I am the prince of all Saiyans. Alright, Vegeta. Oh, I don't rage. Oh, I'm Johan. I don't rage. Well, I wish I had your temperament. I think a lot of us wish we had your temperament when the controller went flying. But assuming it's you're professional when you're 90, like, whoop, 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 I need that. I need that. That's my moneymaker. So I get that. Oh, I'm going to literally, Johan, meet me for a drink. I'll find things to make you get pissed off about and throw a good old SNES controller or a NES controller. I'll find a reason for you to throw one. I can do it just talking to you. I piss off people all the time, literally just by existing sometimes. It's great. Danny Smith says, it didn't annoy me, but when I was recording a YouTube video playing The Messenger, during recording, my son woke up screaming because he's teething and he's got growing pains. Oh, poor thing. We couldn't get him back down, and it got so late I decided I was done recording for the night. Picked it back 3 days later and finished the episode. What's funny is that before my son woke up, I just got to the part where you time jump to the future, so that actually worked out quite well. Now, I've never played The Messenger, so I couldn't basically give you confirmed it works quite well. But I just hope your son's okay, because it's not nice teething. It's horrible. I just imagine that, like something's coming through your gum. Ugh. It's freaky. So, luckily, it's worked out for you. I'm glad, Danny. I hope it's all right. I hope the episode, because that's the thing, even you record, and it can proper throw you when you're listening to sounds. Like, and it's always potential in the next half an hour hiccups or Pat could wake up. And if they come in, that's kind of the end of it. Because I'm like, eh, fuck. Because they're just going to be like, daddy, daddy. Or Pat's going to be like, let me out. So yeah, it could always fuck you up. But I'm glad it worked out in the end, Danny. I hope your little boy has stopped his teething. It's all done. Grant McCarter says, the unoptimized port of GTA 4. I've gotten to the point where it's definitely pretty and very little jank on the PC and runs about 70% of the time. But those 20 to 30 per second FPS dips are frustrating. I wish there was a better option or remaster, but it is what it is. Yeah, it's GTA 4, isn't it? It's difficult, isn't it? Because you're not going to get... No one's going to focus on that one, are they? It's all about GTA 5. So, again, it's probably because you're playing a PC. I'm going to get some hate for that one. I need GTA 4. God, that is considered retro now, isn't it? GTA 4 is retro. Because in theory, GTA 5 should be considered retro because that came out on the PS3. Fuck. That's insane, isn't it? When you think how long it is between each game. GTA 4. Let me know. If I play that game on a PlayStation, will it be all buggy? That'll be interesting to have. And finally, Michael Arnwine says, mixes a bit of retro and modern. My Series S won't sign to live on the 360 emulator for reverse compatible games, and since everything is synced to the cloud and the actual emulator won't connect online, I can't play my 360 games offline. That shit. The whole selling point of me finally buying an Xbox was being able to play the games I played in high school and my early 20s with friends with the service having been shut down on PlayStation. I don't even have access to my PS3. Yeah, that's shit. Like, that's why I've just bought an Xbox One. Granted, I got it on the cheap, but that's why I played it, so I can play 360 games. Because I know if I bought a 360, it would just get the Red Ring of Death, and that's the end of that. So screw that off. That's really poo, which is kind of scary me because I'm like, crap, I'm exactly the same. I need to be in that situation where I need to play on the emulator. Fuck. Is that going to cost me more money? Ugh. Do I need a subscription service? I don't know, just play it. Oh, that's going to cost you more money. That's just going to hurt, isn't it? But that is the end for Stick It Up Your Ginger. Appreciate it, guys, and expect more next week. Now let's move into our final section, shall we? Which we call Survive or Die.
Hey, listen!
Now, Survive or Die is where we get two games, video games franchises, characters, and we have them knelt before Mr. Jeffrey D. Morgan, who is armed with Shao Kahn's hammer dressed up in the Earthworm Jim power suit. And we ask the question, which one of them should get their brain smashed in, and which one of them should live to fight another day? Now, as we are talking 3D Battles of Worldrunner, which was one of Squaresoft's first games, I decided to go with Enix's, its now partner, one of their first games before Dragon Quest came out, and it's called Dodor. I don't know anything about it. I know nothing. So I'm asking you guys the question, which one should survive, 3D Battles of Worldrunner or Dodor? Storm Beagle says, 3D Worldrunner survives because I know my good bud, Captain N, has played it. Yes, he has. He's today's guest. Dave McGee says, you're a Dodor. Oi, prick. This is not how we play this game. You don't just insult me by calling me a Dodor. You're a Dodor. Play the game properly, you'll get banned. Captain N says, as I stand here today, I have no idea what Dodor is. Exactly, I'm in the same boat. I also want you to know that I burnt the palm of my hand spilling hot coffee. Oh no. What does it have to do with either of these? Well, I used the Dodor to get to the sink and run cold water over my boo-boo. Anyway, Space Harrier, 3D Battles of Worldrunner can survive because reasons. Oh well, I hope your boo-boo is okay from your burn. You know, I don't want you to be sore on your boo-boo. That's not good. So please don't be sore. Poor Captain N. Chris Copling says, Uemetsu did the music for Worldrunner. That's it. That's why it survives. Holy shit, he does. Uemetsu does the music for this game, and we talk about this. I say the music. I think it's like two tracks. I think that's all it is like two tracks. But he does do the music for this game. And Raging Demon says, I don't think they gave Dodor a chance, so that other game, whatever it is, dies. What the fuck is Dodor? I don't know what Dodor is. I was really struggling. I should have done Space Harrier next to it. Because let's be honest, Worldrunner surviving. I know that's a pretty poor effort, this one, because I didn't even know what Dodor was. I should have done Space Harrier. On reflection, as soon as Captain N put that in his comment, oh, dick. But maybe we should do Dodo as an episode and give it a chance. Because I know I'm in a Dragon Quest mode at the moment. So maybe we give Enix a go and do Dodo. It's probably absolute garbage. Someone cover Dodo. Someone go play Dodo and let me know what it's like and whether I should be playing it. Well, no, to be fair, I'll play it. If you play it and finish it, I will play Dodo. Sound fair? So whoever wants that, go for it. There we go. What have I been up to? I've been up to football and work. I've had a lot of football to do. Played our Saturday team, played, and we got battered. They had 9 men, we had 11. We still lost 5-0. It went to shit. Literally, I'm expecting to be now going to 3 tribunals. One against the ref, one for a ref for complaining against our team, and to argue about one of our players potentially getting a big ban. I was a good boy, though. I was a good boy. It was just one of those bad days in the office. And then I played on Sunday, where I was in goal, and we won 6-0. Go figure. Way it works, baby, the way it works. And what have I been playing? Well, I have been playing. My poop game is currently Phoenix Wright. I'm on chapter 4 of Phoenix Wright at the moment, so I've got 2 more chapters, including this one, to go, and then that's finished. And what I've been playing when I'm not recording, I have been playing Dragon Quest V. So I've just done the first little dungeon. I'm playing the PS2 version. Really enjoying that so far. I am looking forward to smashing that out. So when I'm not recording, I'll be playing Dragon Quest V. So yeah, hopefully get that done in the future. So before we get into the main episode, I want to give you guys the chance to sound off on the game we are covering, which is 3D Battles of Worldrunner. So first thing Captain N says, Space Harrier, there we go, was a great game for the Master System, brings 3D to the masses. Wait, this isn't it. Oh, well, beans, and I couldn't agree more. So yeah, should have done it. And finally, Chris Copleen says, Captain N makes a good point about how Space Harrier was a great arcade game and 3D Battle Runner sure does exist. Yeah, that, for the first time, Chris, you kind of made a point there. It's not often with Captain N's ramblings, but you've kind of got to somewhere with it. Now just look at your scrotum, you horrible, evil person. You tell me what your scrotum looks like, that's going to get cut, isn't it? That's going to get cut. Literally, that is going to be a soundbite forever. You tell me how your scrotum looks. Fucking hell. It's too early for this shit. Can't be dealing with you bastards. All right. Inner working gone. Right, let's get into it, shall we? Yes, we're talking 3D Battles of Worldrunner. Captain N was the one who introduced this to me for in years of the Retro Tipper podcast, so please go and have a listen to that. It was good fun. I really did enjoy this game. I wasn't sure what I was going to think of it because it was such an old game. But once you get used to it, once you know what's happening, it was good little jaunt. The music's great. It's the same tune over and over again. Don't care. Loved it. That's all I can say. It was awesome. Nometsu, fuck all this Final Fantasy bollocks. Just stay with this, mate. That's all you need to do. Your career's here in shit old games. But I am now going to play some music. And when I come back, me and Captain N are going to be talking about the 3D Battles of Worldrunner, which came out for the NES in North America on September 1987. Fuck me, I'm old. Returning once more. Oh, he's interrupted me straight away. Great start. I was going to give you a nice intro, but you were bleh, bleh. Well done, because returning to my show is my now...
Don't you hate when people interrupt you all the time?
You're such a tit. It's Captain N. He's back. He's back. And at this time, he has the power of the show. He is in charge of my Discord. How are you?
Feeling very powerful today. Haven't screwed up your Discord yet. Give me a week.
Give me a week. Yeah, I do. You know, when it's like, let the prisoners run the asylum, I kind of feel like, you know, he came to me and said, oh, yeah, I can run your Discord. Trust me. I was like, yeah, fuck it. Yeah, he knows what he's doing.
That's the worst that can happen. You burn down the house and go buy another one.
Do you know what? It even says, when you make someone be an admin, it even says, this is a dangerous role to give. I'm like, okay. Click.
You can trust me, guy.
I'm in danger.
Oh, no. I'll make sure it's all nice and tidy for you. Don't you worry.
Yeah, we just kick out the Saturnians. That's the plan. All you Saturnians are just banned.
Yes. Kick out the Saturnians, not highlight them. Yes.
But we're not talking about Saturnians. We are talking today about an NES game or NES game, depending on what part of the world you're from. Now, I'd never heard about this, and it's one that you brought to me, and it's called The 3D Battles of World Runner.
Or 3D World Runner in North America.
It's always called in North America. Now, I'd never played this. I'd never even heard of it. And so I was like, oh, who's played some short games? And you said, play this. I was like, okay, that's great.
I only learned about it 2 months ago.
Really?
Going through my my ROMs, and then this was just kind of at the top of the list. So I was like, oh, fuck it, let's play it. So I started getting like really into the music. So I did a quick Wikipedia search, and I noticed that it was made pretty much by the people who created Final Fantasy.
Is it Squaresoft?
Yeah, it's Square, released by Acclaim in North America, but it was Square who built the game with the designer Hironobu Sakaguchi, a programmer Nazir Jebeli, and the composer famously known as Nobuo Uematsu. Fuck, I never get that
Uematsu.
Right.
Yeah, literally, they'll probably butcher my name to try and say it. But yeah, it was literally before Final Fantasy came out. This was the first one, and I was like, I think it was at the time when they were probably like, because Square, I know before Final Fantasy were in trouble. They were in huge trouble, and they were probably just throwing any shit at the wall and seeing what stuck. And this was one of those attempts. But do you know what? It's a very weird game. Because you're like, oh, you'll finish it really quick. And I did like a YouTube on it at first to see, okay, how long are we talking here? And someone like done it in 22 minutes. I was like, oh no, that is a short game.
Yeah, it is not a long game at all. And it actually, it holds a prestigious award of being one of the greatest ripoffs of all time. Because if you've ever played Space Harrier for the Genesis or the Master System, this game is pretty much a straight up ripoff of it.
I know of them. I've never played it. See, I was playing this and I was like, hey, Sonic 3, you fucking ripped this off. You ripped this off. You ripped off the sphere.
Didn't Sonic 3 come out after this? I mean,
it did. But Sonic 3 ripped off the idea of the sphere.
They reverse ripped it off. I mean, it's a time travel thing.
It's time travel. Now, because this is basically it. Because I was wondering, why is it called the 3D Battles? But when you play it, it does have a feeling of 3D. And I was like, that's actually really clever. And how they did it was like, it was to do with, like, there were so many lines of on the page. And basically, they just used scaling when the line came down. I was like, that's very clever. That's so fucking clever how they did that.
If you hit the select button while you're playing the game, you actually get a 3D mode. And the original game came with, I think they're red and cyan 3D glasses.
Yeah, I didn't realize that until I hit the button on, because I was playing on a PC. I managed to, because you can just type it in, you know, play this game. And I was playing, so I hit the wrong button. I was like, what's going on the screen? And then I went, oh no, that's actual 3D mode. I was like, oh, it's got a proper 3D mode, and it just made me think of those glasses. I was like, holy shit, I used to have them when I was a kid. I used to think it was like really cool. Mom, look, it's 3D. Get those fucking off, you look like an idiot.
Yeah, and a lot of what I've read is the 3D didn't actually work, and everybody just said, like, you know, fuck it, just play the game normally, because it's a lot better that way.
When we get to the stage and I have a PO box, someone sort of got some 3D glasses, those red and blue ones you got like with Dinosaur Magazine. Send me them shit in. I want to play it.
Yeah, you can probably make them yourselves. I mean, you just need red and blue tinted something or other that you can see through, and then you just tape them to your face with some good old clear packing tape.
Is that all it is?
That's all it is.
Wow, I'm thick. And I've just been saying on off air, I'm pretty smart. I've got a master's degree, and there's me going, science.
Start going for that PhD now, because it seems like your intelligence is starting to drop off.
Oh, I'm so thick. Now, this game does have a plot. We'll get into the gameplay and everything. There is a plot, and it's basically you are Jumping Jack or Jack. You all have to go onto Solar System #517, where it's in trouble from Grax and his brothers. That's it. That's the plot. Pretty much.
They are a gang of alien serpent beasts. All of them snake-like.
All those snake-like-y things. That's your boss. They're your bosses. And the gameplay is basically, imagine, okay, for so let's just say, make it easier, Sonic 3, Sonic 3 Special Stage, you're on the sphere, that's essentially as it is, and you run forward as Jack going, but you can only go forward, you can't go backwards, you can just go forwards or side to side, and you are going to a destination of forward, and you're just dodging things, dodging and jumping and shooting, that's it, basically.
Yeah, and it comes as an amazing realization that this was the team that made one of the most iconic video games in all of, like, the history of video games. Mm. Only a few years later, and then this is the plot they have, a one paragraph in the player's manual.
Yeah, I needed the player's manual because I started playing it, and then it got to a stage, it was like, and I'll get into it why, and I was like, I need to find the manual for this, because what the fuck am I doing? I've just wasted 20 minutes, and I was like, holy shit. Because you basically, everything, there are loads of enemies on the screen, and they basically, most of them go side to side, or there's fire that comes out the ground, and as Jack, you've either got to jump over them, or run past them, or try and dodge them, and everything is like an insta-kill. Everything is, as soon as you touch it, and you've only got two lives, so you are in, it's like ultimate Contra.
Yeah, and it's, there's no tutorial, no moment to get your head wrapped around the controls. It throws you right in there, and it just sends you off the rails, and next thing you know, you're jumping the short pit, and then you get to the next one, you hit the jump button again, you barely clear, and then you realize you have to hold the button down for long jumps, and then they have a platform in the middle, and you realize you're jumping too far, and yeah, those two lives don't go far.
They do not go far. Now, there is, and I didn't realize this until, again, multiple save states, that there is a continue. You can continue from the start of that level, and it actually tells you in the book. I was like, that would have been fucking helpful, because I was just failing. And I'm not going to lie, I did finish this game, but I will admit, with save states, because that was the only way I was doing this for this show. Put it like this, because It is, while it looks very simple, and it really does, and it looks all nice and friendly of I'm not even going to do the tune, but it was very catchy. But it is a beast of a game. It's hard.
It is. It is very, very unforgiving. And just the stupidest things knock you off the edge of the cliff or kill you. And it's like when I first played, I couldn't realize for like at least the first 3-4 attempts why that stupid mushroom that would pop out of that pillar kept killing me.
No. Yeah.
By that point, we've been trained that mushrooms are good. I went to the forest and ate them all the time. Thanks, Mario.
It didn't have any side effects on me whatsoever. See, this is what I was going to get onto, right? So, as you're running along, you're dodging everything. You see these columns. Now, at first, because I didn't have an instruction manual, I was dodging everything, and all of a sudden, I hit one. And this little rocket came out, and I was like, the fuck's this? What's this rocket? And I was like, right, I need the guide now. And then basically, I read that these columns were left there by ancient civilizations, and they contain all your items, they contain your extra lives, they contain evil mushrooms, they contain your invincibility. I was like, fuck me, I've got to level 4 without even using one.
Yeah. And I watched a playthrough, a long play on YouTube there just to finish this game off, because unlike you, I never actually finished it. And the guy didn't hit one column in 35 minutes of his playthrough.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's...
That's
they're
impressive.
Pointless. Like, honestly, you get the laser missiles or whatever they're called, and you get like 5 shots and they disappear, or you get the invincibility that lasts one hit, so it's worth it more to avoid them and just carry on forward.
The only one which is, I think is worth it is the gun. No, sorry, it's not the gun. Is the heart to get an extra life.
Yeah.
But you can get the gun and you can start shooting things, and it's like, and they start killing the enemies. And I was like, oh, that's great and all. But I found myself when I started using the gun, I was becoming more distracted. Like, I was like, oh, shoot that. But I was like, no, just dodge it. Just there's no benefit at all to shooting stuff. Just
no, it's like those stars you can pick up as you run through the level, and it starts in level world 1-2 there, and you have to hit those stars, but the 3D is only so good, and continuously miss them by jumping too late or jumping too early, and it's the only benefit of them are you get points for the end of the game.
Yeah, which is bullshit. Like, honestly, yeah. Those stars can suck a dick. Like, what was the point of them? I was like, oh, do we get 10 stars? Do we get an extra life? No, no. And then he read the book. It's just for points. But, oh, bullshit. Fuck.
Yeah, that's the thing about this game is everything is just based on points. And at the end of the game, you don't even get to put your name in to any sort of scoreboard. It's just, you know, you write it down on a piece of paper, throw it in the garbage. It's about its value right there.
Yeah, it's like, I got this many points, prove it. I've got it on a piece of paper. That's about all I've got.
My mum signed it.
My mum signed it. And this is like this is 1987. You have mobile phones back then. It's not like you're taking a screenshot.
So you had to pull the camera out and stay still for 30 minutes back then.
Yeah, but if you got the camera out, the flash is going to go boom off the screen.
Yeah.
So you're not going to get anything. Literally. So you've just got to go by word, and, you know, my word means nothing.
Call Timmy down the road to come on over, take a look at it, so that when you go to school on Monday, you can tell all your friends that you got the score and Timmy can verify it.
He better had, or Timmy's getting beaten up. Little shit.
Fuck Tim.
Lying bastard. But I was so frustrated when I read that, because I did my best to collect these stars. And there was, like, you could get a balloon where he suddenly goes, boo, and it goes to a section where all you do is collect stars. I went, oh, great, there's no enemies. But then you're just collecting stars. Like, that doesn't do anything for me. That does nothing.
No, it's just another... Well, there's columns in there, and that's where you can get most of your free life. So that was the only benefit of those special levels. But other than that, no, the only other benefit was a music change for like 2 seconds. So that song didn't drill into the middle of your brain, never to leave.
I did. You know what? This song has like, this game has like 3 tracks, and that's about it. But I didn't looked it mind up. It.
8 tracks total.
Is it? I know there's the levels. There's the boss level, boss theme. I couldn't even think of any other one, but I didn't mind it's basically the same level track over and over again, but I didn't mind it. It didn't offend my ears. I was like, I thought it was quite nice. I was like,
oh, the problem is you're going to go to sleep and it's going to play again in your brain, and then you're going to be just sitting on the toilet taking your morning deuce, and it's going to come out in your brain again, and that song will never leave you from this point on. It's over. But I'm pretty sure that's the song you're going to choose to start the episode, so it's going to now affect everybody, and they won't know it until it's too late.
And the thing is, what other songs have I got to play with? Oh, do you know what? I should just let it go for like 2 minutes straight. Just go for 2 minutes and just not do anything. But
and just come on with a deep, evil voice. Welcome to Retro Wars. You're now fucked.
Yeah, what a way to start the episode. Or for newcomers to the show, welcome to Retro Wars. You're fucked. My wife's asleep right now. I should just literally put it next to her ear, like really quiet, and then slowly as her brain adjusts to it, just put it louder and louder. That's all she hears. And make it a white noise.
Do one of those things where you train her to do something based on that music, so when you start the game up, all of a sudden she's like making you dinner or something.
Me, imagine that. Imagine I managed to. There's a South Park thing about that. Not South Park, Family Guy, and they did it really well with the sports music. And I was like, oh my God. And Lois got Peter to do fellatio. And it was. If just watch it on YouTube if you've not seen it. It's so funny. Not that I'm going to make my wife do that. That is abhorrent. I'll make that very clear. But it was just train her to do stuff like that. Now
it's too late. It's now Retro Wars canon.
It's now Retro Wars canon. What I will say is, like, there are 8 levels in this game, and they all vary with difficulty. Actually, no. Go back a step. I need to go back a step with these columns, right? So, apparently, an ancient civilization put these columns. Is that what they did? It's like, right, we're in a bit of shit. Better just go around, put columns all over the world, and hope that someone headbutts them.
Not to mention throw the mushroom into some of them, you know, just because fuck you, that's why.
Yeah, because fuck you. Yeah. Obviously, that must have been a delicacy for their people. But obviously, you know, not needing a note saying, this may kill you, just be warned, little fuckers.
Yeah, I just like it. Like, is this planet America? Because they're just leaving ammunition all over the place.
Yeah, literally rockets and nuclear things. It's ridiculous. Now, because there are 8 worlds in this, and obviously either the developers or the people who were on Solar System hashtag 517 had no names because everyone ends in O. Something O. I was like, oh, it's fucking original. I know, yeah, it's 1987, like, people, but it was not original. Make better names.
Well, you gotta think back then, names didn't have the same meaning they do today. That's why we chose that letter of the alphabet.
Yeah, I suppose. Could you imagine if it was like, you know, we're expecting these huge, amazing planet names like Starfield level? I was like, I want a planet 612921A hashtag A or something like that.
Okay, I'm going to planet Zed. What happens after you finish planet Zed? I go to planet AA.
AB. Have you got the AA? Yeah, we have AAA.
Oh, you found the Canadian planet.
I found the Canadian planet A. Now, each level has like a different theme. So it has like a different background theme and different enemies appear in each in certain ones. So I think the first two levels are quite basic, just kind of get you into it. But then it like really opens up in world three. Like basically you better have paid attention because the caverns, so these are big, the we have to jump across. They are no longer jumpable by one jump. You've got to jump on these space springs that just appear in the middle of the canyon. And if you don't land them perfectly, you're fucked.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of this 3D. Yeah. Normally you have to watch the shadow below you, but you're jumping over this black cavern and now you're just playing a guessing game, knowing full well you have to wait until that little platform is right at the edge of the bottom of the screen so that you can land on it.
Yep. Or you, and then you'll jump on it thinking, oh yeah, great, I'll just bounce on the rest of them. Then suddenly you've got to go all the way to the left, all the way to the right to get the next one. You're like, oh, for fuck's sake, Jesus. And it's so fiddly. I think eventually you do adapt to the controls. But at first, you're like, ugh! It's like you've done a proper Sonic over-adjusting. The physics are a bit all over the place.
Yeah, and getting frustrated playing the game 400,000 times just to get through one level.
That's why save states are so good. That's all it was. My wife was probably having, and the computer was having a fit at that point. So level four is you jumping between like fire posts, essentially. Like there are two pillars of fire and you've got to go in between them because if you don't, you will have a, what's known as, well, I've got his name here. Where is it? I wrote his name because his name was so good. His name was Handman. Handman will basically block you and you'll fall to your death.
Yeah, they were dicks. Like I made it this far.
Dicks.
That's pretty much what stopped me on the game. Like, get the fuck out of the way.
Yeah, Handman was a dick for level 4. And then level 5, there's lots of Handmans everywhere, which means you have to, like, your jumping accuracy has to, you have to jump over, like, when it's a cliff or a canyon coming, you have to jump over Handman perfectly and then jump exactly right, otherwise you're dead. I was like, fuck!
Yeah, and you can speed up and slow down by pressing up and down, and slowing down is what saved me a lot of times when I'm flying over a cliff and I have to just like pick the edge of the cliff to jump over something else, or edge of the pit. So yeah, in those hands there, a couple of times I had to slow down just to land in front of them just to quickly jump again. But fuck and those hands.
The speed bit only works for a little bit. You can only slow yourself down for like half a level, then it goes, nah, no more, you've had your go.
Well, he's the world runner, not the world slower downer.
Not the world slow. Well, level 6 is when it got stupid, and the craters become chaos again. It's basically, you better have perfected your jumping, because now you've got to start jumping on columns, the fire column, the fire basic things, and there are more handmen. It's just basically huge, huge canyons. 7 is just more dodging. Dodge that and ghosty things, and then 8 is basically just throw everything. Everything you've got, and it's just... It's a very, very hard game. Like, it's one of them, like, well, you want to go back and perfect it. And I think if you were playing this back at the time, you'd really want to go back and challenge this again and again. If I wasn't using save states, I'd probably say I wouldn't, because that'd be a real pain in the arse. To, you know, two lives dead, start again, that level again. You're like, oh, fuck no, not again.
Yeah, and that's kind of, I guess it was kind of the way games were back then. Make them super hard so that it artificially extends their life. Because this game, if you were good at this game, like you said, 22 minutes, you're done.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, you could absolutely fly through it. But if you're not really good at it, it's going to take you a long time. Like, this will take you... I genuinely believe this will be your game for a year if you don't get good at it. Because you can die over the simplest things. Because, as you said, you've got to get that 3D working out. You get it perfectly. And the slightest little mistake, start again. You're like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and most deaths are just a stupid oversight or just a mistimed jump by, like, one pixel there, and you're not making the end of the cliff.
Yeah, and it is very, very, very annoying. Like, did you get the glitch with the music?
I did not.
No, so it happened a few times when I was playing. Like, I jump, and it was usually over where, like, the space springs, because they're there. And you would I'd just kind of get it just about, but the death music came in. And when that came in, it was like the game thought I was dead, but I was still playing. So there was just no music. I was like, this is weird. Huh. And very lonely. All you just boom, boom, as I'm jumping, and that was it. Like, this is so weird. Like, not as you're running along, nothing, not a sound.
Yeah, no, I never got that. You know, you said you played this online. Were you playing it through, like, a Flash-type website, or were you playing ROM?
Yeah, for a Flash website.
I wonder if that was the Flash site itself, because, yeah, I played the game many of times on the Nintendo there, like the NES Mini that I have the ROM for, and not once did I ever get a musical glitch.
Oh, it's so weird when it happens. I was like, this is quite cool, but then when you get to the boss... it fixed itself, and I was like, back to normal. I was like, okay, all right, fair enough. Now, I haven't talked about the bosses, the serpent-like beasts, because you face one of them every level, and then essentially it does go full Space Harrier then. Like, as what I've seen of Space Harrier, it does go full version of it.
Yeah, which is weird, because the guy has to jump over canyons but can fly to fight snakes.
Yeah, he can. I didn't think about that. Yeah, he can fly to fight snakes and gets unlimited bullets.
It's just, where the fuck were those 2 minutes ago?
I didn't think about that. That's actually quite, yeah, you cheat, bloody hell, Jack. You're not a man of your word. And so you've got to go shoot these snakes. And I liked how they really got the depth perception. So basically, they're just coming left to right, forwards and backwards from the screen. And it's always the same sort of thing. Shoot the body or just shoot the head to win. But each boss, either they have like a little gimmick in them, whether they've got really high defense, whether you could barely see them and you can just see their shadow, or there's multiple, you know, you kill one, another one comes back, or eventually, like the final boss, Grax, there's multiple of them, and you can barely hit him because he just moves so fucking quick.
Yeah, and again, it's just trial and error with these things. Dodge, shoot.
Yeah, dodge, shoot, but against Grax, it's a pain because you're on a timer, because the game is on a timer.
And, oh, that's right, yeah.
It counts as... You don't really notice it. You don't really notice the time. I didn't really notice it until Grax, when I was just struggling to hit this one fucking white thing. I was like, stop, move back.
Yeah, like, and that's that little bar down at the bottom of the screen. It doesn't really say a timer, but it just starts counting down, like, as you start the level, and it took me a while to realize what the hell it was doing.
Yeah, at first I thought that was, like, your progress. I was like, oh, that's how far I'm getting in the level. Oh, no, no, it's gone back up. Oh, no, shit, it's time. Because I hit a clock. I hit one of the columns and a clock came out. I was like, why? What's a clock for? Again, the guy tells me, oh, that's what it's for. Stupid.
Yeah, and that's poor game design in my opinion. There should be like a, you know, a giant clock in the middle of the screen counting down so I absolutely know what's going on, not a tiny little bar at the bottom.
Yeah, but, how dare this game be that shit?
Yeah, right? I'm not a smart guy. I need obvious clues.
I need it spelled out to me. And some of these enemies, you said there's Handman. Some of these enemies' names, some of the best ones was Mean TV, Venus Dietrap, and Dogface.
You don't like the Calamitous Clam? Can't even say that one.
Some of them, yeah, that one I was like, what the fuck? Pronounce that one.
But they could have just wrote clam.
They could have just wrote evil clam, dark clam, but TV, some of them, dog face, hand then, man.
There's also the funny one, White Willies. It's a pretty small enemy. Well, maybe you guys don't call your penis Willies in Australia.
Yeah, we do call them Willies in Australia. I was like looking for the alternate version, which are much bigger. We're not going to say that on the show because it gets cancelled. We'll definitely get cancelled on this show. The Purple Willy, much bigger, much bigger. It's the final evolution, the Purple Willy. But essentially, yeah. Do you know what? Playing it, though, yes, it has its moments. And essentially, the controls are a bit fiddly. But I played this, and I was like, this still holds up.
I will say the controls are actually pretty precise for what they are.
Mm.
I mean, you can control your character quite well. It's just hard to grasp the 3D and the 2D environment at first until you can kind of switch your brain over to it.
Yeah, yeah. I think once you switch your brain, you get yourself adapted to it. I think you can do it pretty easily. I think it's like, okay. It's like, when you play Sonic for the first time, you're trying to do sensitive platforming. We know Sonic is not that very good at platforming, but once you get it figured out, once you get his physics sorted, you're cracking. You're not going to have any more problems with it. This is the same sort of thing. Once you've got your brain switched on to how you need to control, and your depth perception and stuff, this game does become playable. It just becomes it's still very unforgiving. But I was really surprised about how well and how fast this game ran considering its time. I was like, this is actually not bad. This isn't that bad at all.
Yeah, and it was fun, which is why it kind of popped in my head when you asked, is there any short games anybody's played? Is because this game has been in the back of my brain since I first played it a couple of months ago there, and it's that level of fun that you find on cell phones nowadays. You can pick it up for a few minutes, play it, you can put it away, sing the song in the shower because it's never leaving your brain.
It's never going.
Go back to it, jump in again, play a few levels, you get a little bit better, and you just keep repeating that cycle over and over again, and then eventually you just become really good at it. It's one of those good Nintendo games that is replayable if you're looking for something just for a few minutes distraction.
Yeah, that's the thing. I was like, yeah, we can say, oh, it's an NES game, it isn't that good now. But it was like, we play very similar games on our phones. So similar. Like, you know, like a Temple Runner, or like the Sonic one where Sonic did a running thing. Mario's done it as well. We play those sort of games for a few minutes. If you put this concept, the 3D Battles of World Runner, you put that exact game, you'd be like, oh yeah, it's a great little mobile phone game. That's what everyone would say, it's a great little mobile phone game. I was like, we can't really, I'm not going to badmouth it that way. Are the better mobile phone games? Yes, obviously. But I still thought it was, I had a really good little time. I was like playing it at like 6 in the morning the other day playing. I was like, right, I'm going to play this. And the music starts around, 10 o'clock at night. I'm still here, leave me alone. I'm dead.
It's a fun game for sure. Like, I don't hate the game. That's all I can say is, like, I don't like it, but I don't hate it. It's just this fun, quick pickup game that's going to last you a few minutes there, and then you can carry on with your life. It's really well done. It kind of shows the creativity of the guys who developed the game here.
Yeah, it's not going to offend anyone. Doesn't offend anyone. It offends me dearly, this game. Can you remember what happens if you pause the game?
Oh, man, I don't think I ever paused the game.
When you pause the game, he gets on his knees. He sits down, like crosses his legs and falls asleep. I was like, that's cool. Like, just something little stupid like that. I was like, I like that. I do like that.
Yeah, just showing you that the world doesn't exist unless he's running.
Exactly, yeah, everything falls apart. When in reality, so if we just roll him while he's asleep, if he sleep, what happens if he sleepwalks?
Fuck, we're all screwed.
Yeah,
so time flows.
Yeah, time's fucked. Time is absolutely fucked. Everything, you could just walk. Just walk, maybe. Don't be, runner jack. Just walk.
You don't earn the title world runner if you walk.
Yeah, well, I know that's true. But there is an ending to this game. And it's so stupid. It's like he's standing there looking all cocky, because why not, I suppose.
And all the worms, the bosses, come up to him one by one. And
I wrote this down exactly what they say and how he responds.
They give him the... Go on, you write it. They give him the code for hard mode.
Yeah. And just like... each worm comes in. The first one says... Shit, maybe I didn't write it down right. Well, Square says, and then he goes, what? And then second one comes in, he goes, try. Says, what again? And third one says, press B, and he goes, yeah. Then the fourth one comes in and goes, four times. He's like, aha. Fifth one comes in and goes, hold. He's like, gotcha. And then the sixth one comes in and goes, left and up. He goes, and? Seventh come in and goes, start. He goes, sure. And eighth one shows up and goes, good luck. And he's like, thanks.
Thank you. I think that's great, isn't it? Just gives us, I don't know what happens when you beat on hard mode or what hard mode looks like. I am not going anywhere near that at all.
I wrote the code down. I might actually give it a shot in the future just to see.
It looks like that was terrifying me anyway, so I would hate to see that because that would be a scary, scary fucking thing. It really would.
Yeah. The game's pretty hard on its own, so I mean, I don't know what Nihilus needs to play hard mode.
Well, yeah. Can you imagine if this game had actually really taken off, though? Like, if this game took off and then we didn't have Final Fantasy.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, they did make a sequel, though, and it was Japanese-only. Yeah, it was a Japanese-only sequel there. Released, I think, roughly the same year. Yeah, it was released the same year. And... they just call it kind of like a dark version of this game. It moves a little bit faster and it gets more difficult as it goes. But, it didn't really take off again. And then they went ahead and made Final Fantasy and, you know, that's history. God.
Imagine if this had actually worked, if this had sold, you know, if this had made them their money and they'd made the series based on this, like the gaming structure world would be forever changed. So basically, we're kind of happy this game flopped.
Yes, and like the three people who designed it went on to create Final Fantasy, and of course they've all kind of moved on to their own thing now. Like Hironobu Sakaguchi started Mistwalker. Nazir Gabelli, he went off to... what did he do? He retired after Secret of Mana. And then Nobuo Uematsu there went and started his own music studio, his music label called Dog Ear Records. And, you know, he worked with Mistwalker and some others to produce video game music. Of course, the Black Mage is his band.
His music is so good. And this is that song, again, it's going to be in your head. Imagine if I should have put that as the backing track for this whole episode.
Oh, just really quiet, just barely loud enough that you can hear it.
Barely loud enough, so it just comes in and just gets anyone. Do you know, random side note, that Jack did make an appearance in another video game.
Really?
Yeah, he was a secret character in Chocobo GP.
Was he? Oh, man.
Imagine all that work trying to get this secret character and then suddenly you get him. He's like, who the fuck's this?
Yeah, like, what the fuck's going on here? He doesn't even have a cart, he just runs.
Yeah, and just shoots everyone. Only five shots and that's the end of him. I thought that was just, like, he'd be so devo. You're like, oh, do I get Sephiroth? You know, do I get, like, some ultra Final Fantasy character? No. You get Jack. Yeah, Jack. The reason why this franchise even exists. Let's put it like that. Without Jack falling into an abyss, this game would have never even happened. Because, yeah, Chocobo GP, that would never have happened either.
Yeah. Oh.
We have a lot to owe this game. And the funny thing is, like, you were, like, messaging me, and I was like, can we even make this an episode? I was like, yeah, we'll make this an episode. And we have now gone 35 minutes, so technically, if Speedrunners finished this 13 minutes ago.
Yeah, fuck. Like, that's what I was kind of worried about, is, like, I thought maybe 5 minutes into it would be like, well, what else is there to talk about? Yeah, you're right, we've gone longer than the playthrough I watched. Including the ending with the code. Like, this episode will do more for 3D Battles of the World Runner than the game 3D Battles of the World Runner did for itself. Like, you can go play the game and get the experience instead of listening to this episode because it'll be quicker.
Yeah, don't bother listening to this. Turn it off now. You get more from the game. It's like when we do, like, you know, we've done any other game. Like, we did Breath of Fire, and we're going to do Breath of Fire 2. It's like, they're, like, big, huge RPGs, and we're condensing it down into, like, an hour long. And here we are. We're, like, nearly double the playthrough time of this game.
Yeah, we're continuously going off topic to stretch this out. And it's like, oh, yeah, well, what'd you have in your coffee this morning, Danny?
Nothing. I had just death. I had the magic mushrooms. I had those magic mushrooms. I put a few of them in. Let's see.
Oh, yeah.
They're okay for Jack. They're not okay for Jack. See if they're okay for me.
Oh, they're delicious. They make you see shit. Like a 3D world.
Like a three.
Oh, man. It's like everything has depth. Except for this game.
Oh god, we can make puns. See, everything. That's the sign when you can do. You can, you know, a good conversation when you can bring in everything and make it all wrap up quite nicely. It's very good, and I like this. Or you got problems, sir, and you need to think about what you're really putting in your coffee in the morning. You need to.
Yeah, I think my problem is I've been out of work for the last 2 months, and I've had a lot of time to myself. And this guy I'm hanging out with, me, he's crazy.
Yeah, he likes mushrooms.
Yeah, way too many mushrooms. Not the grocery store type, the in the forest type.
Do you know what? Side note, right? Side note, and we'll get to a kid score in a minute. You said about mushrooms. Now, I don't care. It's my show. Some woman in Australia fed her. I think it was her in-laws and her ex-in-laws and an auntie. Death cap mushrooms in a quiche or something, and killed them
on purpose.
No, well, she said it was an accident, and the ex husband was meant to be there as well, and it was meant to be like talking about the kids and stuff, and he decided he couldn't make it, he wasn't well, and yeah, she's killed three members of the family and then a friend as well, and it's like, oh, and she's saying it was accidental. It's like, oh,
and but that's gonna be an awkward Christmas letter.
Yeah, especially when it's like, oh, what should I buy him? Oh, like those, you know, those Super Mario toys of like the one up mushroom or the grow mushroom. Just send that through the post. Send one up mushroom. Holy shit, wouldn't that be a kick in the balls?
Yeah, that would. I'd probably laugh way too hard and go right to hell because of that.
Oh, right. We better score this game because now we're getting to two playthroughs of this game. What are you going to give the 3D man?
What are we going out of here? Out of 5? Out of 10?
Out of 10.
Out of 10. I want to score this game really low because it is a very bad game, but I want to score it high because it's a really fun game. Stupid fun. I'm going to knock a point off because that song is in my brain right now and I can't get rid of it. So I'm going to go 4 out of 10.
Do you know what? I'm going higher. I'm going 7. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, man. They're going to find you at work hiding in the friggin' supply closet there, you know, on the floor singing this song, humming it while you play it on your phone.
I don't know. That's the thing. Some people are going to be so angry at that score, but I actually really liked it. It brought me joy. Again, it'd be very different. I had save state, so that may have made an opinion, may have changed things, but I liked it. I was like, this isn't offending me at all. It was great fun. It was great.
Yeah, it was a stupid, fun game, and I love that song. It's just like I said, it's not leaving my brain.
Never. Never. Right.
But it shows the talent of Nobuo Uematsu.
It does. It does show the talent. It really does. He's great. I think he's done a great job with it. And I thought, wow, well done you.
Yeah. Hopefully he goes on to do something great.
Yeah, hopefully he goes on to do better things, you know, than he goes on to great and amazing successful adventures in his life.
He can make cartoon music.
He can make anything he wants. All right, Sunshine, I'm going to kick you off my show. But as always, it has been an absolute pleasure speaking to you.
I won't interrupt you again, I promise.
You bastard. All right. Thanks again, matey, and I'll see you soon.
Yeah, you too, buddy. Take care.
Yeah, you too. And that was episode 114 of the 3D Battles of Worldrunner. Thank you very much to everyone for listening. I hope you had a really good time. And thank you once more, Captain N. It's great to have you on. Although I know we've got Breath of Fire 2 coming up next week. Well, recording. Very clear, recording it. But until then, you all take care of yourself, and I wish you all the best. My name's been Danny. Bye-bye.